All right, you ready?
We've done it 100 times. It's okay. The same as usual.
Welcome to the Hoot and Holler podcast and the Ungated community. I do this differently every week, don't I?
Yeah, I'm cool anyway, with it.
Anyway, yeah. Hey, that's what to expect. We have a format, but it's our show, so we kind of
do what we want.
Sometimes we, you know, throw a curveball, you know, shoot from the hip, if you will.
Yep.
But if this is your first time, this is the Ungated community. I'm Candace, and this is
Whitney,
and we are the Hoot and Holler podcast. Okay, you can find us on all social media at Hoot and Holler TV, and if you listen to this on your favorite podcast app, you can also go to our YouTube channel and watch this episode at Hoot and Holler TV. Like, subscribe, follow, all the things. All right. Today we're going to talk about love languages, relationships, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we always
go. We know y'all lonely out there. It's hard out here.
She didn't mean that. Self-love, guys.
It's hard out here.
Self-love.
Yes. Love yourself. Love yourself first.
Self-love.
But it is cuffing season, so.
This is true. That is kind of appropriate for the season, mm-hmm. isn't it? Didn't think about that until now.
Until right now.
Look at that. Look how God works.
Get you a big girl.
Hello, it's fun.
It's our time to shine.
It's fun over here. Okay, thank you. Life be life, and you know, to kind of go with what we're talking about, I've jumped back. I took a little hiatus,
mm-hmm.
and I've jumped back into the dating scene.
Got your big toe in.
Yeah, got my big toe in. I ain't committed to the whole foot just yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Because things could happen and change in an instant. That's what it has taught me. Yeah. But it's for me like we was talking about, like you have these certain expectations, and I guess we get those expectations from childhood and just seeing your
different
parents interact, or you know, seeing people around you interact, your grandparents, and then you know, TVs and movies are influenced, and then social media now, you know, is an influence. So you have an idea of what you will want to have and how you would like your relationship to be, or how you want your dating life to be. But when you start dating, it does nothing like that.
No, never. Especially
completely opposite.
Especially these days with all the apps and all the things. It's trash.
So it's like, you know, first of all, like you meet them differently. Most times you're not meeting them in an organic setting of you're at a restaurant, or you're out at this event and you run into, or you work together or something like that. Well, some of that does happen, but it's rare though, you know, but most of it is an online interaction of some kind, you know, whether it's you know, a Facebook friend, or you actually do an actual dating app, that you're not meeting people the same. So that just like changes the whole scope of things, and you're able to meet people further away because of that.
Yeah.
So that creates other challenges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but like for me, like it's, I was telling her earlier, it's like, it's weird. It's like, I don't know if I'm on the right track. I don't know if these are good things. I don't know if these are the right steps to take. And it's like, I'm all in my head, and I'm trying not to overthink it. I'm trying so much, because I can overthink it now.
Yeah.
If anybody can overthink it.
But you're good at overthinking, but not knowing when not to say things.
Yes.
You're not going to be like 2 days in and be like, where are we at with this?
Yeah. I'm just kind of letting it happen.
I need you to define this.
I'm trying to let it happen and just take it slow, because I don't want to rush in it. Because I think a lot of times with our society and stuff, we like to rush into things.
Yeah.
And we don't see people's true motives and intentions until it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just great freaking maskers of themselves. If you spend enough time with them and take your time, those things will start to show themselves if you're paying attention, you know.
And that's some of what we're going to talk about later,
right?
Like dating advice and stuff that we've gotten over the years, because I've got
things
I've learned, things you've learned. We're gonna share it all.
Yeah. So I don't have anything else for life be life, and but do you have anything? She doesn't. Okay. Anyway,
yeah.
Carry on. All right. So let's start this HOA meeting, and we're going to start with horrible, great advice.
Yes.
And so this is good and bad advice about dating and relationships, marriage, those kind of things. and you had one that you jotted down outside. We have an article that we're going to be looking at that has some things in there, and we'll discuss a few of them. We're not going to deep dive into it because that's not our main topic.
Mine is, it's not premarital sex if you never get married.
That is horrible advice. But it makes all the sense in the world.
It does.
But you got to know what your life is going to be like, though. Yes. This is like, you know, I could do this right now. Am I planning on getting married? Nope. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. But so what do you do when you like, you know, I'm never getting married. And then you like, oh, my God, I'm about to get married. And I've done the things.
Oh, my God.
What is going to happen? So what do you do? You got to give them advice. You got to give them the B-side of the track now. Crap. Come on, Whitney, you got to think these things through.
All right, you get married.
Okay.
And then you ask God for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
The end.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right, great.
Because if you get married, you're never having premarital sex again. Oh, another tip.
We just end it with that. That is the cure. I don't know about this advice. This is not starting out great. Okay, so one thing they said, these that I'm reading are, this is what they've named the article, 50 relationship tips that are actually terrible advice. We're not going to do all 50. We're just going to kind of pick them at random. But one of them is, so when I read it, it's going to be what people say is great advice for relationship, but then they go into this article why that's bad advice. So just to give you context on what I'm saying and how they are setting this up. So I just missed the one. Maybe we just
read it and then we discuss why we think
it's bad. I'm not going to read theirs,
bump their opinions.
But I'm just saying we're going to pick them kind of at random. So the first one, and this is not the one that I wanted. Hold on one second. That I was going to do.
Sorry, I'm reading some of these.
Doggummit.
Can I go ahead and read this one that I've
Go done? Ahead. Yeah, go ahead. While I'm looking for whatever one I'm looking at.
He, she, they, whatever, can change.
Yeah, they can't.
After 14 years, I can assure you, they don't change.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that back. What I just said. I said they can't change. They can,
if they want to.
But they gotta want to. Yeah. You can't do it. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do to make them do that. If they are not motivated to change, it will not change. That's with anything. That ain't got even. That goes beyond relationships. That goes with just being a decent human being. If somebody's out here just living a certain way of living that is not great, they're not gonna change it until they are tired of living that way. Yeah. That's when they'll change it. So don't do that. Don't marry them, because I can marry them and I can change them and I can do that.
Do not be a fixer.
I think women are probably worse at it.
We're terrible, yes.
Than men, because we see potential in people because we try to look at their heart and say, well, they have a good heart. They just have this thing.
And they just need some help to get there.
Yeah, if I just spend time with them, I can help them because I'm great at this thing.
Yeah, no.
They got to want to change. Now, I will say this too. Who that person was with you may be different with another person.
That's true.
It takes certain people to be in their life to make them want to change. Yeah. That don't mean anything was wrong with you. It's just you weren't the person.
Yeah.
You just weren't the person. And it is what it is.
And people get really hurt by that.
Yeah.
Like with you, he was lazy. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He didn't. Right. He wasn't a provider. He wasn't a protector. Yeah. Whatever. But then with her, suddenly he's perfect. Yeah. And it's like, why didn't I get that version of you?
Well, and some of it is, and let's be honest, it could be us sometimes. It could be us in saying that, you know, maybe we're, you know, it's the way we said things to him. Maybe we belittled them and didn't realize that we did it, but we did it. And this woman doesn't do it that way. She says it in a more caring and loving way. Not making excuses. I'm just saying what I'm saying. Just people perceive different things and differently.
And sometimes in that case, along with the whole people changing thing, sometimes it takes something extreme like losing you.
Right.
That's true. To make them be like, I was a douchebag.
Yeah. And I won't do that again.
Maybe I should learn from that.
Yeah. Yep. That is possible.
So people can change, but people can't change. It's all in your mindset. I've changed. I've done a whole lot of work on me. I've changed. Right. But I've always been the type to want to be better. You just have to, you have to find somebody who always wants to be better, who wants to do better.
Children will save your relationship.
I was looking at the same one.
Children will save your relationship.
Man, bump that.
I don't have kids.
Wouldn't recommend it.
They're expensive.
Zero out of 10 stars. I've heard they're
quite expensive. And the little, them little suckers talk back to you at a certain age.
Yes, they do.
I think they do that too. Yeah, definitely wouldn't recommend. I'll put I totally agree that is not the truth. It takes people to, two people willing to try and work to make a relationship work. And that don't always mean it's going to work, because some two people just aren't compatible. That's just what it is. But I'll put a B-side on that. Also, getting married does not save a relationship.
No,
I told my cousin, now they're married now.
You got to fly. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He wants to be on the podcast. You want to talk?
Buzzy.
Okay.
No. Oh.
Buzz Lightyear has entered the room. Okay. marriage does not save a relationship. And I told now they're married now, my cousin and his wife, they've been married some years now, but at the time they were dating and they was thinking about moving in together. You know, if you from the Bible Belt, you know, we have that thing called shacking.
Okay.
You can't be living together with man and woman. They're not supposed to be living together. Yeah. And they ain't married. Okay. So both grew up in the church, but she at the time was a little bit more into church and went more often than he did. But she wanted to get married before they moved in together. And he was like, nah, I want to just move in together, you know. And I told her, I said, and this is my cousin that I'm talking, you know, I was like,
yeah,
if things are rocky now, you getting married is not going to help that. It's going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And it was a lady that was standing that worked there too, because we worked together, and she was standing there too, and she had been married and divorced. And I said, am I right? Because I have never been married, you know, but I'm just telling her, like, I know about relationships and that fact of that. I know that you don't put another problem with another problem.
Yeah, don't.
You know,
it amplifies.
It just amplifies. Everything's going to be worse because now you living with the problems.
Yeah.
You know, now you can at least go to neutral corners, you know. But when you living with the problem, now this is a lot different now. And the lady that I said this in front of, I said, am I right or wrong? You tell me, because you've been married. She said, you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
I said, you do not do that. I don't care. And on the flip side now, I'm talking to both of them, trying to talk sense to both.
Yeah.
Because he had people in his ear at the time, family members, that was like, you need to marry. Y'all got, you know, a kid now or whatever. I told him, I said, look, just because y'all got kids together don't mean you got to get married.
Yeah.
If the situation is not right, you do not do that, because it's easy to get in. It's harder to get out.
Yeah.
So unless you are ready to
not
do
to
that.
Mention what you're doing to the kids.
Yeah. You're creating a horrible environment for the children and yourself. You're going to be miserable. So, I mean, I talked to both of them and I'm telling them the truth. I that's the way I like to interact with folks. I like to be honest and, like, I don't sugarcoat it. I'm just because he's my cousin.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you think he out here messing around and doing stuff, don't marry that joker.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go around and tell you, just because you got kids together don't mean you have to be, because if you're not ready, don't do this.
Yeah.
You know, eventually it all worked out. They married, had three beautiful kids, love them to death. But, you know, at the time I was like, I cannot recommend this advice at all. And those of y'all that are telling them that, please quit.
Stop that.
Please quit. As a preacher's kid, that I had to tell my dad the same thing, because he was like, well, they got kids and they might, they already doing that. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm telling you, I'm looking at two people that don't need to get married.
I've heard that so many times. And you know, if you're outside the Bible Belt, you may not understand that.
Right.
But Lord Jesus, the amount of pressure on people. I remember, so my brother and his girlfriend at the time had a kid when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he told my dad, oh my God, that was the worst night ever. I remember when they told my parents, and my dad, my brother was saying, like, I guess we need to get married now. I need to do the right thing. And my dad,
right,
even being in the Bible Belt and being, you know, we were going to church and he was a deacon, all the things. I think he was a deacon. I can't remember. Anyway, I remember him telling him, and I've remembered to this day, just because you made one mistake does not mean you need to make another. And
Amen.
Thank God they did not get married.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yep. Yep.
I got one more and we probably need to move on to our next thing.
Okay.
Age is just a number. So
that was a toss up.
Yeah.
That was a toss up. Now, age does not mean maturity. Let's start there.
A freaking man.
Age does not guarantee maturity. Man. Just because you get someone older does not mean they're mature. And just because you get someone younger means they're immature.
Amen.
The differences are usually going to come when it comes to decision making.
Yep.
Raising kids and what you think marriage and a relationship or a healthy relationship
yes.
look like. So communication style.
Yeah.
Now, y'all might have a lot of similarities and likes. You know, but the way I think about things, it's probably going to be a lot different than a 20-year-old.
I cannot even imagine. I can't comprehend. I'm
we could probably laugh and joke and kick it because I can kick it with anybody.
Yes.
But when it comes down to life values and morals and stuff, we're going to be on a different page. I can already tell you that.
I can't comprehend.
I already can tell you that.
In my brain right now. Okay, so I'm 37 as of June, so still fresh 37. But I still cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
Dating younger than like 28, that just seems like a kid to me at this point.
Yeah,
I cannot see us being on the same wavelength.
I need you in your big threes. I'm 38. Yeah. I need you in your big threes.
Yeah, you need to be a big kid.
You need to be in your big threes. Okay, 28 is a stretch for me.
Yeah,
so I need you at least 30. You know, we need to start right there. You
as
know,
as far as older, I've always gone older. Because of the maturity, because mm-hmm. most of the time the older guys are more mature than somebody our age.
Some of them still out here playing games though.
Yes, yeah,
some of them are still playing 28-year-old games and 25-year-old games.
Some of them, yeah, agreed.
So that's why I said age don't equal maturity. But please take that off your plate, please.
Typically, that is why I date older though.
Yeah,
and I do like the old school,
right?
Chivalry and right. all those things, just because. I've never had that until recently.
Right.
I mean, I like that.
And then, too, for me, it's like I'm a big music lover. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the new stuff, I can't listen to.
Yeah.
I just can't listen to. I've aged out in mentality and in age. So I like a lot of the, a lot of that has to do with my parents being older individuals. I like their music that they grew up on, mm-hmm. you know. Then I like the 90s stuff. And then early 2000s, the 2010s, the 2010s. That's about it.
Yeah.
We can probably pull it on down.
I like
a little new stuff, but not a lot of it.
Yeah, I still like some of the new stuff. I feel like I go across the whole board. You know my playlist.
Right. I want to do one.
Okay.
Do one more.
What's the last one?
Each partner should do their fair share. Now, I want to do that one because, you know, there's been a debate online about 50-50 and 70-30, all that kind of stuff. So what I want to get your take. What do you think? 50-50, 70-30, 60-40, or 100-100?
100 and 100. I sound like a bitter ex, but I'm just telling you my life experience.
But that's what makes your,
If you do not have a good partner, then you have dead weight.
Yeah.
And if you have dead weight, you will not go anywhere in life. Yeah. And that is why who you choose to marry, who you choose to father your children, who you choose to co-parent with, whatever the situation is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And when I was 19 and got married,
mm-hmm.
I had no clue. We're in love.
Oh, yeah.
Love can overcome everything.
You love Teletubbies at that age, so.
Yeah, for real.
That tells you all you need to know.
Man. Yeah, it is 100-100.
Okay.
Everybody's going to have their days where they're sick, they got something going on, they're dealing mm-hmm. with depression, and you may have to be at 110 that day.
Mm-hmm.
But it should never be 100-0.
Right.
And that is, yeah.
Okay.
That's my TED Talk.
Okay. Cool. So I look at it similar. I think when you the last part you said is more of where I lie on that
mm-hmm.
is, first of all, you need somebody that's gonna give you 100% effort. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that effort at that time, depending on where they're at, may only be at 60%.
Mm-hmm.
We're human. We're going to have ups and downs. We're not going to feel 100%.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you everything that I have in this moment, which may be 40%. Yeah. But if you have somebody that at least gonna give you what they have,
yeah,
we could come up with that 60.
Yeah.
We can come up with the rest of that to get to the 100. So
and that's
in idea, I don't think 100 and 100 is the realistic thing. I think it is two people giving 100% effort at whatever moment
you're
at.
And that's what I mean by that. I just mean we don't need one person carrying all the weight and one being a quitter. Yeah,
exactly. But if you got somebody that is willing to try to fight at every and give it everything that they have at every moment, you can make it. I just feel like that because, but if you got somebody, well, I'm only going to do 50% of things.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do 50% of that because for me, I'm going to go 120, 130 a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? And I need somebody that's going to at least give me that 100 now.
Yeah.
And I just, because for me, it's like, I'm going to give you all that I have. And if I don't see that, this ain't going to work for me. This ain't gonna last very long. It's not.
being married, and like I said earlier, I was married for 14 years before we got divorced. And one of the few things that I got from like marriage class and stuff at church, because, you know, I don't buy all that crap most of anyway, the whole other thing, is it is a choice every single day. Whether you are going to get up and love that person and help that person through life and be there mentally, be all in.
Right.
You know, it is a choice 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that every day and you get to the point where you're doing it every day, but that person is not doing it every day, then that's when resentment builds and that's when... Right. You finally get to the point where you're like mentally done. And when you are mentally done,
you're done.
You're done. You might as well call it.
Yep.
Because there's really, unless that person has some kind of life altering moment
right,
where they completely turn into a different person overnight.
Yeah.
It's done. It's gone.
Okay. Well, that was a good discussion.
I know.
That was nice. Hopefully we gave y'all some insight. Y'all probably have some similar ideas, but you know, drop down in the comments and you know, let us know of some advice that you've heard that you feel like is totally wrong, or just advice period. Share that with the community.
We start a love letters to Hoot and Holla.
Oh Lord.
Give some love advice. The things we've learned.
So our deep dive today is about love languages. And if you're not familiar with love languages, or if you may not subscribe
to those types of things. So we're going to tell you about them today.
No, I can't find my link. Hold on. I'm sorry.
So thank you for tuning in to Hoot and Holla. So we just talk about all the things that make us happy.
Okay. So there are five love
languages.
Well, I thought that's what you're supposed to do. Okay. All right. All right. So there are five love languages. Now, some may have two, some may have one. You know, we all have a little bit of all of them, but there's usually one to two that are the other ones.
Kind of like the Enneagram test that we did. Right. You have one where you're the most, and then your second one, and usually those two are the main ones in your life.
Right. So I'm going to read them with the description, and then we'll tell you what ours are and discuss from there. Okay, so the first one, there's five of them. The first one is words of affirmation, so verbal and written compliments, unexpected praise and recognition. Number two is acts of service, doing things for other people that brings them joy. Number three is physical touch. Love is felt through non-sexual touch, hugging, and general physical presence. Number four, quality time, giving your attention to another person, active listening, and making time for loved ones. Number five, receiving gifts, enjoying surprise gifts and tangible symbols of thoughtfulness and effort.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to start or you want me to start?
Mine have changed over the years.
What was yours before?
So when I was young and first married and stuff, it was quality time and physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we had kids, and life changed mm-hmm. and the physical and mental load changed mm-hmm. down with things. Then it turned into acts of service, words of confirmation more so, because it's like, especially new moms, if you've had kids, you know this. You feel like a crappy parent all the time, no matter what you do. The mm-hmm. mom guilt is real. If you go to work, you feel horrible because you left your kids at home. I should be at home raising my kids. Right. If I'm at home raising the kids, I'm not pulling my weight. I'm not bringing in any money to the household.
Constant guilt trip.
Yes, like you cannot win. So words of affirmation are important. And acts of service are extremely important. I would have killed to have heard the words, "What can I do to help you?"
Right.
Because my mental load, taking care of kids and several addicts in our family that we were helping and dealing with at the time,
mm-hmm.
and my father-in-law, who was disabled and had to come live with us and take care of him. I was up all night with kids, up all night with him, and then going to work in the morning, working all day, coming home, working until I went to bed, and then up all night again. I would have killed to have heard the words, "What can I do to help you?"
Right.
And those were my love languages. And now that I don't have somebody here all the time, and mm-hmm. I don't have, you know, all of that's on me anyway, except for, you know, kids doing chores, whatever. Right. So the acts of service really don't exist because I don't have anybody to do them for me anyway. It's just me. So sometimes words of affirmation, but I think more physical touch when I am in a relationship and stuff like that is super important to me now. Mm-hmm. Physical touch and quality time. Because
mm-hmm.
any time that I can just have somebody be like with me,
right?
Even in friendship, like even with you, hanging out with mm-hmm. you, like it's like just having that interaction. Oh, you would have died if I would have fell out of the chair. Oh, it's funny though how it all changes over time. Has right. yours been consistent or has it changed?
To be transparent. If you didn't hear that, she just said Casper.
Squirrel.
I've always had like a weird connection.
Sorry.
Burn your top lip there?
No, it popped out onto okay.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right. We just let you finish so I can get to my
guys.
Point. Anyway.
Go ahead.
But I've always had like a weirdness about dating and stuff. But growing up, just because I didn't really understand myself, I've always felt misunderstood. I still feel that way. I've always felt that way. So just like interaction with people and you know, it's always been a weird space for me. So it isn't until recently that I'm like learning about myself in the last few years, you know, just doing those self what's the word I'm looking for?
Self-evaluation.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, doing self-evaluations, you know, trying to work through like, why do I do this? And, you know, what did I get that behavior from and all of this? Or what is this trauma mm-hmm. about?
Yeah, for real. Man, the 30s, it's all about dealing with your freaking trauma.
Yeah. And so, that's when I'm like, you know what? These are the things that I need. And so the things that I need, or the things, as far as relationships, my love languages, are things that I don't get in my day to day.
Yeah.
I feel most of the time like people are constantly doing this at me, grabbing and taking, and nobody's yeah. doing this, handing and helping.
Yeah.
I can't have that in my relationship when the yeah. whole world and everyone else is around me is doing this.
Yeah.
I can't have the person that's supposed to be my partner yeah. to do that to.
See, acts of service.
So acts of service yep. is probably number freaking one
yeah.
in my book of love languages. My other one is quality time, because they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because that means you're taking time out to do something, because everybody else, when I need them, not talking about Whitney, I'm just saying yeah. in general terms, when I need them, they're not there. And so I can't have that. And then talking about I'm trying to spend my life with somebody and they yeah. doing it the same way as the world.
They're just draining you. You need somebody to fill your cup.
I can't.
Not take from it.
Because a lot of times I feel so drained.
Yeah.
after dealing with people all day and dealing with all of this, and I just need somebody to just, you know,
pour into you.
What you need? Is there something I can help you with? Even if you can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing the graphic design stuff, and you may not be a graphic designer.
Let me make you a hot chocolate, baby.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? Just figure out what we're going to eat tonight.
Yeah.
And just come sit beside me. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Just something. Because I'm not, yes. I don't ask for a whole bunch of stuff. It's just the little things.
Yeah.
It's just the little.
I'm like that.
Little things of just being considerate and being, seeing that I've had a rough day.
Yeah.
Or just seeing that, you know, you just going. You need to sit your butt down right here to turn this off. Yeah. Because I have a problem sometimes doing that. I can get consumed in my work and can make up all the excuses of being busy. And I just need somebody to say, I know you've been busy and I know you've been working, but can that wait? Yeah, but can it wait? Yeah, okay.
Sit your ass down. I had one do that for you.
Right.
Vaughn.
Okay. Gosh. Right.
Just little things like they're Fridays in a print shop, we've talked about it before, are insane.
Mm-hmm.
And just the little things like, hey, I ordered you and the kids a pizza. Pick it up on your way home.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's one less thing I have to think about. Yeah. I can just go pick it up and go home. Oh my God. And it will make me cry. Like, it will make me tear up because it's like, oh, one more thing that I don't have to deal with. Oh my God. I don't need presents. I don't care about things.
I can buy my own stuff. I spend my own money all the time.
Yes.
I don't need no help spending that. Okay.
I'm expensive.
Okay. Yeah. That's generally why I just buy it myself, because my list is a little more elaborate. Yeah. Anyway, I fund my own joy. Okay.
And then cry when I have to pay for it.
Right. Like, well, I don't have any money. Because I funded my joy this week.
I was happy when I bought it.
It brought me so much joy. But there's 2.5 seconds and I opened the package and I played with it and I was like, I should spend that money.
Luckily, Amazon has a good return policy.
What's that return policy? Not as described.
Exactly. It was broken when I got it.
It was supposed to bring me so much more joy. Then I had buyer's regret. It's not joyful now.
They should really just have that buyer's remorse.
There you go.
Sorry. Here's your package back.
I at least put it back in the plastic.
Yeah.
And look, I put the cushions back in there too.
This went off the rails. But yes, the little things.
Yeah, it's the little things. And those little things mean so much to me. It's like, I feel, that's how I feel like you care about me. Because outside of that, I don't feel it. Yeah. I don't feel it. And, you know, I've also learned. What's funny, man?
I just think about the cushions back in and everything. It's just in my brain. Sorry.
I mean, I feel great when I can put it back in the box the way I got it.
That so rarely happens.
It's like I put the phone pieces back in there the way it is. It looked like it ain't never been.
You should have seen me trying to return.
Curtains are the worst, by the way. Curtains, pillowcases, sheets.
Mattress. Like, I ordered one of those memory foam mattresses.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
You put your knees on it, didn't you?
I attempted. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll keep it. Because it is not getting suctioned back
you
into
look at
that
it like
package.
That's not getting back in that box.
Exactly.
Facebook Marketplace.
Exactly.
$15.
Page 79, looking for 70. Porch pickup only. I know what I got.
Okay.
We just went off the rails.
We gotta get back on track. But yeah, I do not feel like you truly care about me. If I don't get those two things, that's just what it is. I mean, you can tell me you care, but if them two things ain't in action, it's a wrap.
And one other thing that for me is important. I hide my emotions a lot.
Me too.
Unless I'm 100% comfortable, it is very hard for me to be extremely vulnerable with someone. I am usually hyper aware whether I say anything or not. If you walk across a room and I know you pretty well, if you're walking funny, I know that something's wrong with you, right. By how you walk, how you're handling yourself that day, and be like, okay, something's up. I want somebody to know me like that.
Me too.
I want to be able to walk in the room and then be like, oh, what's wrong?
Right.
He's like, why are you doing that?
So first of all, I need you to get mind your business, stay on my brain. Because
Exactly.
I want to turn into mush.
Yes.
Because I have a very tough exterior.
Yeah.
but inside there is a teddy bear and that sucker crying a minute. I swear to you, Will. It'd be pissing me off too. But at the same time, I'm like that. Cause like I said, I've always felt like misunderstood. Nobody got me. Nobody took the time to get me. I'm a very complicated individual, I feel. Whitney may have a different opinion. But I feel like I'm a very complicated, complex individual. Like I got a lot of different little things that, you know, little quirks and you know, I got different interests and stuff like that I feel like are different. But and I feel like a person gonna have to really tap in and understand that, and that's gonna be the one I marry.
So we like an onion.
Yeah,
we got layers.
Yes, parfait got layers.
Parfait does have layers.
Everybody like parfaits.
Onions. I like onions.
Yes. Love languages are important. If you don't know yours, there's probably a bunch of them on there for free. It's going to ask you questions on how you act in different situations and what's more important to you in a certain situation, and you'll get an answer. And just, you know, kind of, you know, and if you haven't, it's hard to date when you don't understand yourself.
Yeah, you got to get to know yourself.
That's the big thing.
If you're looking for somebody else to tell you about yourself,
so
it ain't going
to
go well.
How you going to ask somebody to spend your life with, or have somebody spend your life with, and they don't know your life because you don't know your life, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you feel appreciated, what makes you feel loved, what makes you feel, any of those emotions. Like, you need to know that for yourself first.
Yeah.
And, you know, in order to have somebody to be that for you, because if you don't know, then they just shooting arrows in the dark.
Yeah.
They just shooting arrows in the dark. Yeah. So the next question to that, since we know our love languages, how do you think that affects your approach to dating in relationships now?
I mean, you can tell when you're dating somebody if they're willing to be that or not.
Yeah.
Even if you are moving slow, that person should be paying enough attention to you, and vice versa, because mm-hmm. I'm paying attention to everything.
Right. Especially in the beginning.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you can tell, like for me, consistency is a big thing, keeping your word and all of that, because I've had so many, and I realize that's a me issue, so many broken promises over the year. They were made with good intentions, but never happened. And so now I automatically, if you tell me, I'm going to take you here and we're going to go on this trip and do this, I'm automatically like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
And those kind of things. So consistency is huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
asking, how does this affect your approach to dating?
Well, I mean,
your love languages.
Yeah. So that's part of, all of it.
Let me ask you this. Because those are your love languages, does that, like, if you don't see those things immediately, does that make you walk away, or does that make you want to at least try to see, are they willing to do it, or, you know, are they just so non-negotiable? Like, if you ain't already got it, don't know how to do it, that's it.
No, because if you're willing to learn, I'm willing to learn yours. Yours is not going to be the same as mine.
Right.
And that is one thing about love languages, is usually you try to give what you need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if I need words of affirmation, I'm going to give you words of affirmation because I think that's what you need based off what I need.
Right.
But in reality, we've got to learn each other. True. That may not be yours. Yours may be physical touch and mine may be gift giving. Well, if you're unwilling to randomly give me flowers or whatever I need, I'm probably going to be less willing to give you whatever you need.
Right.
And I'm not talking about me specifically. I'm just saying that's how we work in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, your love languages absolutely affect all of that.
And that's what I would say it's, to piggyback that is how it affects my approach today. And it makes me pay more attention.
Yeah.
So when I was younger and didn't realize things about myself and, you know, the things that make me tick and all that, I was just dating, you know. I didn't expect nothing. I just, you know, we have fun when we're around each other, but it was nothing solid. There was no foundation, no nothing. There's nothing like, you know. So a lot of times I wasn't happy in those situations. I mean, we had happy moments, but overall I wasn't happy with those things because I didn't know the things that made me happy, you know, or what I needed from somebody in a relationship to feel loved, to feel wanted. So now knowing those things, it makes me pay attention to your actions.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing, are you putting in the effort?
Yeah.
I'm seeing, are you willing to try? Because I know I am. I always say that I can't mess this up. You're going to mess it up because I already know what I can do, what I'm going to do. It may be arrogant, but I'm just saying what I'm saying. I know, like, only you can mess this up.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
I'm not going to mess this up. That's probably really, really arrogant. So. But anyway, these are things that I say to myself. Okay, so calm down.
I don't tell them. they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out when they're by themselves. they messed it up. And but no, it's just because I know that I'm a people watcher anyway. I'm always observing. I see the ins and outs, the pros and the cons, and I just let things develop. Whitney knows about my sticky note system.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in effect. I don't put as many stickies on it. I try to give people a little more grace, but there's sticky notes on it, and it's like, okay, that was interesting. We'll come back to that. If you're not familiar with my sticky note system, is I'm observant of people's actions and things. And before I accuse, before I go to the far left, like, okay, so why'd you do that? I just make a mental note like a sticky note.
That was a little odd.
There may be something, maybe nothing, because I know I can get in my own head.
So
that's why I don't. Act on those initial emotions until I gather more intel.
Yeah.
Okay. I really could have worked for the FBI, but I had to support the church.
Yeah.
So therefore I couldn't do that. Live my dream.
They couldn't have handled us.
No. So I take all these notes down and it's like, eventually this is going to come full circle. So I just need to put this right here because that was weird. And that gives me a little concern, but just not yet. We're not going to go off in the deep end just yet. Let me just keep watching, you know. And I think that's, for me, I think that's God's way of, like, revealing things to you. Is like, you might want to pay attention. Open your eyes. Don't be so in love that you ain't got your eyes open. So,
But you also do sticky notes for good things.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do.
Because I remember one day, when we were getting to know each other at work, you know, you spend 8-9 hours a day with somebody, you know, you either love them or hate them. And we just happened to love each other. It worked out. Yeah.
You're welcome.
I remember one day we didn't have music on. We didn't have anything on. And I'm like, you know, it's pretty nice that we can just be in silence together. Like, because a lot of people can't do that. It's just awkward or weird. And you're like, huh. I hear you're back at the work table. You're like, huh, sticky note. I'm like, what? Because I didn't know about the sticky note system at that point. I'm like, you're going to write it on your desk? Like,
I didn't see not one sticky note on your desk. You done said 5 sticky notes today. I ain't seen one.
It's like, huh. Yeah.
It's a mental reminders.
She all right.
What's up, guys? I hope y'all enjoyed part one of Love Languages. Stay tuned to next week where we have part two and our HOA approved picks of the week and the quote of the week.
Yep. We just liked, we got caught up in it. it was too long, so we had to turn it into two for y'all.
Usher got caught up. Caught up. Got me feeling it. Okay.
He's been on my mind a lot lately.
Well, he has also had some confessions, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was singing that in the shower Friday morning.
My confessions.
Oh, Lord. He didn't tell him he had herpes, but he told him everything else.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going there.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So, we're not going to talk about that in anything.
No more.
No. 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 We're not
going to talk about that. The herpes.
No, that's nasty.
Yep.
Mm-mm. That's not of God.
Anyways, we have a lot more for y'all to listen to about relationships and stuff. We got so caught up in it that it turned into almost
great,
2 hours.
Great, healthy discussions amongst friends.
Good.
We need to know this so we can, I don't know where I was going with that.
Improve. Get better. Self-help. Things.
It's cheaper than therapy.
It is.
So you better like and subscribe.
So we can afford it.
Thank you. That part. 1, 2, 3. Come on.
Okay, try it again.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Beep, beep.
Holla, y'all.